Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. Dear brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is with you.
Searches for his living soul, searches places that he don't want to go, looks for love and for hope. He finds a world that's abandoned them both. Yeah. All the lies tell us just to set you free. What we need is that love, the love that comforts from heaven above.
Hi, I'm Kathleen McCarthy, and you're listening to What the World Needs Now, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. I invite you to join me in this hour of God's healing power. Call and join us in conversation and prayer. Remember, what the world needs now is God, and God is love. Whoops, praise the Lord. Blessed to be with you again today. This is What the World Needs Now, and what the world needs now, my brothers and sisters, is the light that dwells within you and I, the light of Christ. And we need to take that light out into the world and let it shine brightly to dispel the darkness in our homes, in our families, in our workplaces, in our communities, in our parishes, wherever it is. The Lord wants to send us who believe in him. Us who carry his word and his heart, his word in our hearts, and so that we can take that word out to others. I'd like to begin today with the gospel as usual, and maybe we'll talk a little bit on the gospel. And this is from Luke 8, verses 19 through 21. The mother of Jesus and his brothers came to him, but they were unable to join him because of the crowd. He was told, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside, and they wish to see you." And he said to them in reply, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and act on it." And that's the gospel of the Lord. And what does that reading say to you and to me? To me, it speaks very clearly that obviously his mother and his brothers were outside. They did hear the word of God. They did keep the word of God in their heart. As a matter of fact, that's why Mary, the mother of God, that's why all generations will call her blessed, because she not only heard the word of God, but she acted upon it. She heard the word of God, and she lived it out. And Jesus wasn't in any way, shape, or form putting down his mother or his brothers, who were his cousins. But the thing was, the mother of Jesus and his brothers came to him, but were unable to join him because of the crowd. The crowd was so large. And he was using this as a teaching moment. He was using it to tell the people of God who would hear his word and rejoice in it, who would hear his word and keep it in their hearts. This is what the Lord was calling the people to, the crowd. This was what the Lord was calling the crowd to respond to the word of God. I'm having a little bit of problems here with my earphones and microphones, so be patient. So again, he wasn't reprimanding or putting down in any way the importance of his mother and his brothers who were there, but because of the size of the crowd, they couldn't get to him. No, that isn't it at all. He was using it as a teaching moment that for all of us, for the crowd that was gathered there, the large crowd that came to hear him, came to see him, he was letting them know, each and every one of them, that to be part of his family, like his, you know, the mothers and the brothers, to be part of that extended family, his family, the family of God, he was letting them know that they were not only called to hear the word of God, but also act on it. And he was really giving them a challenge. Will you come and follow me? You know, will you not only hear the word that I speak today, but will you act upon it? And each one of us at some point in our lives throughout the day, we have to ask ourselves that. We hear the word of God if we're blessed to be able to get to daily mass. We hear it every day. Those of us that can't, we certainly hear it on Sundays as the gospel is read and all the readings are read. We hear the word of God, but it just doesn't stop there. We're called to act on it as well. You know, what good does it do just to hear the word of God? If somebody came running into the studio right now and they came in and they knocked on the studio door, this recording session right here, and they said, Kathleen, there's a fire here. Now, I would hear that. I would, you know, I've heard it. Wow, I heard that word. But if I sat here and did nothing about it, I would probably have burned to death. So I would have had to get up and move and go do something in response to the word of God. And that's what I believe that the Lord was saying to all those that were listening. I believe he was using it as a teaching moment. The truth was there. They knew it. They came and said, your mother, your mother and your brothers were there looking for him. You know, they were standing outside and they wanted to see him. And yet he responds, he knew who his mother was. And he knew who his brothers in the Lord were. But he was telling the people, hey, if you want to be part of this family, if you want to be a member of this family, then you're not only going to be able to hear my word today, but I'm also going to be expecting you to do something about it. Will you take it into your heart? And then will you act upon it? And, you know, it's just like when in John 6, when Jesus was talking to the crowd there, the very, very large crowd that was there. And he was talking about the beautiful gift of his body and blood that he was going to offer up to the Father for the salvation of the world. And, you know, the people heard the word. He was very plain about it. He was very clear. And yet, they were like, oh, this is too hard of a word. We can't handle this. We can't take this word. We're not going to receive this word. It's too hard. And they couldn't bear that word, to know that God sent his only son into the world, and his son Jesus was saying that he was going to offer up his body and his blood for the salvation of the world. That was too much for them to hear. Maybe they didn't understand it, but I doubt it. They say that, of course, the movement of Jesus' words when he walked among the people were profound. They moved the deepest recesses of people's hearts, minds, and spirit, those that would receive the word. And so people grumbled among themselves and they walked away. And maybe that same setting could be said for the gospel today in Luke. Maybe all these people who were gathering around to hear this preacher, to see this miracle worker up close and personal, if you will, pardon me, they too were like, come on, there's this Jesus from Nazareth, and he's over here in this town, and let's go see him. Let's hear what he has to say. And so word of mouth got out, and it says that because of the size of the crowd, that his mother and brothers couldn't reach him. And when he was informed of that, he simply told them the same thing. He really told all the people that were following after him in every town. You know, his mother and his brothers are those that hear the word of God and act on it. And that was a teaching moment, another opportunity for him to tell the people, hey, you came here to hear me. You came to see me. Was it out of curiosity? Are you just here because you're seeking the Christ to see what he looks like, to hear his voice, to see this miracle worker that you've heard about? Or are you indeed my family? Will you be my family? Will you be my followers? Will you be the ones who will take this word and live it out? Will you be the ones to receive this new life and become part of my family? I'm going to lay down my life for you. Will you hear this word and will you act on it? And there's a big difference. You know, I just, I always say that we are so blessed and so completely filled with the grace and wisdom and knowledge in the church, because we have 2,000 years plus of God's word being spoken, being written, the written word of God, being preached, being taught, the teaching magisterium, all the councils that came, the monks who wrote the word down and to preserve it, all the different ways. We're blessed to have the word of God in the fullness. And yet today, we're guilty too, time again, time and time again, to hear the word of God being preached off every altar all over the world. We hear the word of God being preached. And how many times, you know, have you ever been at Mass, or maybe you've attended a conference or a healing service, and of course you can't be at one of those without having the beautiful gift of the Mass, and you hear the word of God, and how many times maybe the person you were with, and you hear the word, and you sort of give them the elbow. Did you hear that? That was for you. And we forget that maybe it was really for us. God has us there. How many husbands and wives have left the house sort of in a huff with each other or their children, but they got them all together and they're sitting down there in the pew and they're listening to the word of God. And same with, you know, our Protestant brothers and sisters who are listening. How many times have the house sort of been in an uproar before you all got ready to get out to church and you're all sitting there in the pew? And as you're sitting in the pew, you hear the word of God proclaimed. And instead of taking that word into our hearts and to say, wow, man, the Lord's really speaking to me today. The word of God is really dropping right into my heart. I really need to listen to what he's saying. I have to receive that word as I hear it. And I've really got a responsibility now to act on it. But half the time, I can't tell you how many times I've heard somebody say, oh, I couldn't believe I was at Mass with so-and-so today, and I couldn't believe the gospel was so perfect for them. And I said, did you hear the gospel, you know? And I said, well, did you hear it? Maybe the word of God is for each one of us. What do you think? And so we have to be careful, because we're always ready to point the finger. It's somebody else. When we hear the gospel, it's like, oh boy, I wish John was here right now, or I wish Kathleen was here right now to hear this word. When in fact, I'm here right now hearing the word. So the word must be for me. Must be for me. And can you share the word? Absolutely. But if we're hearing the word at Mass, that word is, we're supposed to be focused on that word. God's word is living. It's effective. It brings about a movement of the Spirit within us. And this is what it was taking place, I believe, in the midst of this crowd. I believe the people were there, and the crowd was so large that Our Lady couldn't reach her son. And she was there with, you know, Jesus' followers, his brothers. And when he was told, he was more interested in what they had to say, what the people that were there that came to see him, the people that came out of curiosity, were they just going to walk away from everything he said, or were they going to not only hear the word but act on it? And I really think for you and I today, it really led to really use that analogy of each one of us being at Mass. And so often we'll hear the word of God, and instead of allowing the Spirit gently, very gently, to convict us, that's the beauty of God. If somebody told me something about myself that was painful to hear, I could either act on it and begin to change it, or I could hear it and ignore it, because I would get angry or ruffled or annoyed that someone would say that to me. But God, in His infinite love, in His mercy, in His gentleness, always calling us deeper and deeper in the Spirit, it is He who can gently convict us in the Spirit. And every time we hear the Word of God, it's an opportunity to line up with the Word of God, to see if our hearts are right with God, to see if our motives are pure, to see if we're self-righteous or we're humble before the Lord. That's the question. Do we hear the Word of God? And will we respond to it? Will we actually act on it? I'm going to give the phone numbers out today. 610-527-2906. Maybe you have a comment you'd like to make. Maybe what I just commented on, the way I talked about the scriptures. Maybe you can relate to being in Mass with family members, or maybe your boyfriend or your girlfriend or your fiance, or whatever, your brother, your sister, your friend, and you were so glad that they were here. They were there to hear God's gospel that day because they needed to hear that. And how many times have we all failed to recognize that it was God speaking to us as much as anyone else that day? So our phone number is 610-527-2906 or 1-888-343-2484. Again, give me a call. Let me know what you think. 610-527-2906 or 1-888-343-2484. Let me know what you think of this. You know, the first reading, we were told about the Israelites who built God a house. Well, we have a house. It's called our bodies. We are the temples of the Holy Spirit. We don't often hear that anymore today. We are the temples of the Holy Spirit. We are the church. We are alive in Christ. We are the members of His mystical body. We are the church. And if the church, meaning each one of us, followers of Christ, Christians, if we don't hear the Word of God and act on it, then we're going to be very, very poor advertisements for the Catholic Church, for the Church, the Universal Church. We have a call. Hi, Dom. Hello. Oh, Phyllis?
Yeah.
Hi, how are you?
Okay. We prayed for my friend Desi.
Yes.
And things got really good right after that even. But she's driving me crazy, and I've never been angry like this. And I feel like maybe even someone's using this to attack me to make me better.
Right.
So I don't have these feelings.
Right.
And I want peace, and she used to be quiet sometimes, and I could read, and she talks to herself, and it's really, really a hard situation. And I also have, I asked somebody one time if, just a minute.
How can I leave it?
Hello?
Hello.
Okay.
I just feel like I I'm in limbo, mm-hmm. and I don't know where to go or what to do or if I want to do anything. I feel like telling God, you know, are you sure you're calling me, you know? And
right.
And I, for a long time now, I've been getting roses on cards, roses on this, and my girlfriend sent me roses on paper, and I got a journal with roses on it, and I just feel like maybe the little flower is telling me, you know, like you're doing what I did, and just keep doing it.
That's right.
Well, but what do I do? Like I'm angry sometimes at this lady.
Well, you know, Phyllis, you know, it's a good question. Because in the scriptures, the Lord tells each one of us, be angry, but sin not. Anger is an emotion. It's not right, nor is it wrong. Jesus, remember when the people were calling after him as he was walking along. They were screaming his name out, and they were calling to him. And his apostles tried to stop them. And the Lord turned to him and he said, let them be. And the apostles, you know, they got angry that these people kept following after him and they were running after him and calling to him. They wanted him. And the thing that we have to remember is there's nothing wrong with being angry. It's how we handle our anger. And Phyllis, you know, you chose the right portion. You wanted to turn to the Lord. And what you said to me was, you know, maybe it's for me to be better. Maybe if I could just be more compassionate. She's driving me crazy. And the good thing is that, you know, there's many people in all of our lives that sort of drive us crazy. I'm sure I've driven a lot of people crazy. And I know I used to drive my dad crazy when I was a little kid. The Wanderer, they call me. And he never knew where the heck I was. I was always wandering off here, there, and everywhere. And I never could understand. I was like, well, Dad, I just went up here. I just went there. And he said, Kath, you had me worried sick. I didn't know where you were. You just roam off. You're like a wanderer. So before the song was popular, my dad called me the Wanderer. And he used to get angry. And the thing is that we have to have a responsibility. And like the Lord says, when we hear his word, we're called to act on it. You know the word of God, Phyllis. It has taken root in your heart. And so what are you doing today? You picked up the telephone and you reached out and you said, Lord, you know, help me. And what he's saying is the king's men have actually it's a scripture, but it says iron sharpens iron. Now that's a nerve-wracking sound if you ever scrape two knives together.
Yeah.
But it can annoy us. Or it can sharpen us. And I believe that Desi's really in your life, not as a curse, but as a blessing. Because through it, you've done the very thing that God would have you do. You've turned to him to help you. You've turned to him for that peace that no one else can give you. So let's just say a prayer, Phyllis, today, okay, that you have chosen the better part. And for all of us, you know, anyone out there today who suffers with anger or resentment or is constantly so annoyed with the people that they have to interact with all the time, that all of us might look at Phyllis and use this as a teaching moment, as a moment of learning, a show and tell. That's what Phyllis is today. Because as the scripture said, she hears the word of God, but she's asking for grace to act on it. And so, Lord, I ask that you would bless Phyllis. I ask that you put your peace in her heart, the peace that goes beyond understanding, the peace that the world can't rob us of, the peace that Desi can't rob her of, the peace that can only come from you, Lord. So I ask that in your infinite love and mercy, as Phyllis says, Jesus, I trust in you. And as she trusts in you, I ask, Lord, to flood her soul with that grace to take her day to day in that facility on the journey that you have her on. And in the midst of all the annoyances that Desi can bring, that she might see the broken Christ in Desi, that she might see the wounded heart of our Savior, and then reach out and touch her in compassion and in love and mercy. And then she will be blessed mightily in return. And so, Lord, for all those who suffer with anger, that they might remember that anger isn't a good or a bad, or anger is an emotion, and it's not bad, it's not good, it's an emotion. It's what we do with it. All of our emotions are good. You know, when we're sad, we cry. When we see a funny thing happen, we laugh. And when a beautiful thing happens that we experience, we're filled with joy. So an emotion is a good thing. And it's usually nudging us in the spirit to respond to a situation according to God's love. And that's what you've done today, Phyllis. You responded in accordance with God's love. You knew you were angry. You knew she annoyed you. But you turned to the Lord. So may we all turn to the Lord today. Any of us who are listening today, that maybe there's someone in your life that just downright drives you crazy. Or maybe there's somebody in your life that annoys you day in and day out. And you wonder, why can't they just be still? Or why can't they just shut up? Or why can't they just go somewhere else and let me be? And instead, God works through that to get us to look at Him and to respond to His grace and His love. So, Phyllis, I love your little laugh at the end.
I have to tell you one thing before you hang up.
Go ahead.
There are several people, maybe five, they said to me, "How do you do it? I could never do that." And I said, "It's the grace of God."
Amen.
No, you couldn't do it. It has to be the grace of God.
That's right. God bless you, Phyllis.
God bless you.
Bye
and
now, darling.
St. Michael and the Holy Spirit take care of you all.
Thank you. Love your letters. Thanks, Phyllis.
Okay.
God bless. You know, Phyllis said that she was a living witness because somebody, actually, you know, other five people came up and said, "How do you do it? How do you do it?" And she said, "I can't do it. It's the grace of God." And it reminds me of a story Father Mike Mannion told me one time. It was about Mother Teresa. And he spent years and years with Mother Teresa in India when he was in the seminary, and many times thereafter. He's a wonderful priest, Monsignor Michael Mannion, in the Camden Diocese. And he related this story. And it was a bunch of people that gathered one night down there at Pius House. And he shared a story about Mother Teresa. And he said that she was picking up this leper who had just so many sores all over him, open wounds. She picked him up out of the street. He had maggots in his wounds. And he was just so disgusting that he had a stench to him. And the reporter that was following them, they were going to, follow her back to one of her homes in India for the sick and the dying. And he looked at her and he said, "Mother Teresa, I couldn't do that for $1 million. And Father Mike said she looked up at him as clear as day. And in all her simplicity, she said, "Nor could I. I do it for Jesus." Isn't that beautiful? That's the difference between one that yields to the grace of God. I'm sure the stench still bothered her. I'm sure the wounds and the open cuts and wounds in that person really maybe turned her stomach. But yet, she did it for the love of God. She did it for Jesus. So that in that sharpening, iron sharpens iron. In that annoying person in the streets that was laying there, to any other human eye, they would have walked by them. Because they wouldn't want to be close to them. They're afraid they would get contaminated. But Mother Teresa picked them up in the love of God. She was really and literally God's hands, His feet, and His voice to that person. And she loved him in Christ. And that's how we can hear the word of God and act on it. With that, we have a call. Hi, how are you?
Well, I am fine. How are you today?
Hey, I'm good.
I'm on the road. I'm driving from Wilmington back to Ocean City, Maryland, and I just, listening to your program, reminded me of an experience that I had at Mass in Ocean City, Maryland, where I lived.
Right.
And this was in 1985, and I had not been to Mass in over 10 years. And the last time I had gone to Mass was at my dad's funeral in 1975, and I had stayed away for 10 years. I was a young person.
Right.
But when I went back into Mass, it was a weekday morning, and a good friend of mine in Ocean City who knew I was Catholic and who was Catholic himself said, you really need to come back. And he said, God is waiting. He will wait for you as long as he has to. The church has been there for 2,000 years. It's going to be there for 2,000 more. And you really should come back. And on that weekday morning, I went to Mass with my friend Jim. And I remember just the incredible surge of emotion that I felt. And there I was. I was 30 years old. And I was crying like a little baby.
Wow.
And it was just a profoundly moving experience. And now I'm a lector at my parish. And, you know, the people who may be listening, may be hearing us, who are Catholic and who are not going to Mass as regularly as they ought to, should regularly go, and they should regularly receive the Blessed Sacrament. And I remember just a couple of years ago, I was speaking with the coordinator of all the lectors and the ecumenical ministers at my parish, and he said to me, you did not receive communion today. I saw, why didn't you receive communion? And I said, well, Bill, I have not gone to confession in the last couple of weeks, and I went to Catholic school when I was younger and old school. I went to St. Ignatius in New York.
Okay.
And there were certain rules, and you did not violate those rules, and they were there for a reason. And he said to me, do you have any mortal sins? I said, no. He said, well, then you should have received communion. Then he said something very interesting. He said, if you don't receive communion, you are cutting yourself off from the entire universe. And you need to receive it. If you don't have mortal sins, you should receive the body and blood of Christ. And I just thought that was an extremely interesting outlook on things, and I certainly would love to know what your outlook is on it.
Well, I am a firm believer. Are you a first-time caller?
Yes. In fact, I have never heard the station before. I haven't been to the Philadelphia area in a long time.
Well, I'm blessed.
Going up and down the dial.
I'm blessed. There you go. There's another opportune moment for you, Duke, and for me. How the Lord brought us together. Universal Church, however, in the present moment he is, and you were turning the dial, and you posed an awesome question and a beautiful witness about the sacramental life of the church, and about a great friend that didn't give up on you and continued to, you know, share his faith with you, telling you how much God loved you. So first and foremost, I want to commend you for the courage to call in. And secondly, I want to tell you that it touched my heart, because I myself was away from the church for years. My story was a journey back as well. And maybe someone else is out there listening. I believe so much in the sacrament of reconciliation, the sacrament of confession, of penance, whatever
very
you
want. Important.
Exactly.
It is extremely important.
Exactly. But I also know that if we don't have any mortal sins, and then our intention is to get to confession as soon as possible, then I agree that we should never deprive ourselves of receiving Jesus. I personally feel that that's a Satan's way. You know, he came to deceive, to condemn, and I think that's what he does with a lot of people. If we have serious sin, not even mortal sin, but real serious sin on our soul, I think we need to get to the sacrament immediately, you know, as soon as possible. However, if there are not serious sins, then I don't think anything should ever stop us from walking up and receiving Jesus, truly mind, body, soul, and divinity on that altar, because I look at it this way. if he, you know, if we could see him with our eyes like we do with our heart and our mind, we know he would reach out immediately to embrace us, and he would not have anything come between us. So he is there, and he will embrace us. However, we know, too, that when the people came to crowd around him, he requested them that they would repent and turn away from their sin and then receive that new life. So for serious sin and certainly mortal sin, you have to go to the sacrament of reconciliation. But I think when we examine our conscience clearly, and I think that's something we fail to do, I think when we do examine our conscience and we say, well, I don't have any serious sin, but I have a lot of these venial sins, Lord God, have mercy on me. And then we go, we've been washed clean by the word we heard through the scriptures, and then we receive him. You know, that's healing and cleansing to our soul. And then that should even inspire us ever so much more to get to the sacrament of reconciliation. Now, that's my personal interpretation.
You know, I think you're right. That Satan does, obviously Satan is abroad in the world.
Amen.
And Satan has been doing very, very horrible things to our country. I heard you speaking about Our Lady of America earlier today.
Yes.
And, it, you know, Father Carampi made what I'm sure you're familiar with Father Carampi.
Oh, yes.
Father Carampi is a brilliant intellect. There is no question about it.
Right.
And Father Carampi had an observation about Satan that I think really sums up what he is all about. And Father Carampi said the devil's favorite color is gray. And he's absolutely right about that.
That's right.
Because the fact of the matter is there are moral absolutes. And they are not negotiable.
Right.
There is absolute right, and there is absolute wrong.
Right.
And as you said a moment ago, if you make a complete and dispassionate examination of your own conscience, not everybody can do that. The conscience and the parts of the mind are, they will sometimes play tricks on us and on themselves, and it's not easy. But if you are able to do that, you will see there is absolute right and there is absolute wrong. And when people say, no, there are only shades of gray, that's Satan talking.
Absolutely right.
You need to reject that. You need to reject it absolutely, immediately, and firmly. It is the only way that you're going to be. You know, the other thing is this. I mean, I'm a person who was brought up in a Jesuit parish in New York City. I was an altar boy for many years there.
Mm-hmm.
And Mass was said in Latin when I was serving Mass as an altar boy back in the 1960s at St. Ignatius. So I'm a person who really believes in the traditional values and the value of the traditional Holy Roman Catholic Church. And the other day I asked our pastor, who was just a brilliant guy, Father Protak, I said, Father, is it not true that technically speaking, the Protestants and the evangelicals are heretics? On a technical level, isn't that correct? And Father Protak, being an extraordinarily diplomatic guy, said, no, not really. Well, I don't think that the Vatican should begin an actual war,
right,
as they did during the Reformation and the Counter-Reformation. But technically speaking, heresy is heresy. Belief in the one true universal Catholic Church is something else. And I hope that the Protestants will see the error of their ways and that they will return to Rome, because that is the only way for actual salvation is through the Holy Roman Catholic Church. And that's all that there is to it.
Well, it's the only church he himself instituted, isn't it?
Yes, it is. and our Catholic Church has been there for 2,000 years.
That's right.
And as my dear friend Jim Sporker said to me on that morning in 1985 in Ocean City, it will be there another 2,000 years.
That's right.
We pray to God that it will.
Well, Duke, it's been a blessing to talk to you. And, you know, if all of our brothers and sisters, Protestant and Catholic alike, if we all get down to our deepest roots, then we will be back to one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, because it's the only church he himself instituted. And when we get down to what we really, truly know to be truth, not a watered-down gospel, but the absolute truth that we've had for 2,000 years through our teaching magisterium, then the desire of God's heart will be fulfilled, that we will be one. Amen?
Amen.
God bless you. Do call in again, will you?
Thank you.
All right. God bless you now.
God bless you, too.
Bye-bye. Well, well, let me take this call first, and then we're running late for a break, but we'll take this call, and then we'll go to break. Oops. I guess I lost her. We had a caller on the line, Sue. If you have an opportunity, call back in a couple minutes. We're going to take a small break. We'll be right back.
And now, a spiritual message brought to you by the Catholic Church in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia.
Hello, this is Cardinal Regali. More than 2,000 years ago, Jesus bestowed upon his apostles the wonderful gift of the priesthood. Today, Jesus continues to call men to serve him as priests. The life of a priest is a life of love and service to God's people. The priest is called to be a representative of Christ and to bring the good news of God's love to others. If you know a young man who may make a good priest, please encourage him to pursue that possibility. I also ask each of you Catholic young men who hear this message to consider whether Jesus Christ is calling you to serve him as a priest. May God bless you.
Hi, this is Kathleen McCarthy. First of all, I want to thank all of you for your faithful support in these trying times. It is greatly appreciated, and it is through you that we continue to proclaim the good news that Jesus Christ is Lord. When we're seeking God's will, as he tells us himself, seek first the kingdom of God, and all else will be given unto you. It is a time for all of us to know that whenever we give in the name of the Lord, whatever we do to seek his kingdom first, that God will bless us abundantly. And so I ask all of you today to continue to support this ministry. We turn to you. This is an SOS going out to you, asking you to help us stay on the airwaves, to continue to proclaim the gospel of life and God's healing love to all of us who are in so desperate need of his love. Oftentimes, the very first thing we cut out or cut back on is our charitable giving when things get tough. But when we seek first the kingdom of God, we can be sure that we will be blessed 100-fold. John Paul II and tells us time and time again, our beloved former Holy Father, be not afraid. With this in mind, I ask you from the depth of my own heart to please remain vigilant and faithful in support of In His Sign Network. This ministry had been called forth over 30 years ago by the Lord, and Dominic answered that call and responded with his own fiat. I too have answered that call and said, here I am, Lord. I truly believe this ministry is a sign of God's presence and healing love for so many. Will you heed the call too? Will you stand with us in these tough times? We need your help to remain steadfast, to be a voice crying out, to be a light in the darkness as we continue to proclaim the truth of our one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. My brothers and sisters, if you're not already a member of our monthly benefactor program called the Circle of Family and Friends, please pray about becoming one. Please note that you can now go online and we can take your donations. We've been set up now to do that securely, and you can feel completely confident that as you donate online, we will certainly continue to proclaim God's word over the airwaves as well as over the internet globally. You can also continue to send your support to In His Sign Network, 136 Garrett Avenue, Rosemont, PA, 19010. And again, we praise and thank God that you have supported this ministry for 30 years. And in the name of Jesus, the living God, I ask that he pours out his blessings abundantly on you. God bless you. Well, we're back again, and we just had some good conversation. We got Sue back on the line. Let me take that call. Sue, how are you?
Hi, Kathleen.
Hey, how are you?
I wanted to share how the gospel, you know, means to me, you know.
Sure.
Remember we talked to you about that priest I met, Father Pio, on Saturday night?
Yes.
I went back again Sunday, and he said to me, I really predict that you're going to be you're following your inner light, like, you know, the light of God and the Holy Spirit. And he heard me read in church, and he said to me, you speak from the heart. He said people can read the word, but they also have to proclaim it. And especially the readings of the weekend with wisdom and St. James were so, so beautiful, if you remember them, you know.
Absolutely.
But the gospel, I can't imagine, like, being in, like, just like I think about when you came to my door and you touched my hand and you said, this is Kathleen. Could you imagine if the Lord knocked at our door and said, this is Jesus, I want to come into your house?
Wow, great analogy.
So, you know, I mean, I just feel like my life is just changing so, you know, in such a positive way.
Well, praise God. That is a beautiful.
I mean, I just think a few months ago, I was a first-time caller.
That's right. That's right, Sue.
So,
look,
you know, that's why I think your ministry is so important. And, you know, you preach the word and you proclaim the word and you pray for people. And I just wanted to ask you to say a special prayer for Jack and George. Yesterday was their birthday.
Oh, I
and
will.
I forgot.
Oh, I will indeed.
But I had to share because, like, I mean, you know where I was before, and you know where. But I just can't imagine. I mean, I guess we do touch Jesus' hand every day if we want to, and he's in our hearts every day when we let him.
Right.
And I just keep thinking about the replay. But I press that replay button every day in my heart of the day you came to my door.
Oh, God
bless.
And
that is such an, you know, that all coincides if you think about it.
Well, I tell you, we're in this together. Right?
Okay, God bless you. And I had to call and tell you that.
Well, I'm glad that you did, because I'm sure it's a great insight. And I'm sure that those who are listening today, I never thought it was a very powerful insight that just as I reached out for your hand and said, this is Kathleen, indeed.
And at that time, Jesus was reaching out for both of our hands.
That's right.
And Frank, who brought you, and he reached out his hand to me too. And
right.
So I guess he was reaching and to Bill's hand and to Phyllis's hand because you were in our presence that day.
That's right.
And they don't stop talking about it.
Oh, well, look at the power and the love of God that through that, you know, the truth is that, like you said, Jesus always has his hand out for each one of us. All we have to do is say, Jesus, come into my house. And we're all temples of the Holy Spirit.
That's right. And the priest's penance to me was say every day, come, Holy Spirit, breathe it in and breathe it out. And I'm suggesting that everybody do that. And then, you know, you think about the Saint prayer to St. Lucy about the inner light.
Right.
You know, those that don't have sight, and even if you do have sight, you need, like the priest said to me, that inner light is so much more important than your eyesight. He said, don't ever worry. If you never receive your eyesight for the rest of your life, you have the inner light.
That's right.
And it's for the first time I believed him.
Praise
God. And he was a very, very powerful, you know, because you said you knew of him. He's a very powerful priest.
Yes.
Very. His talks were very good. And, and I'm glad I got to kiss Padre Pio's glove.
Aww.
And them special blessings. And I just think they're just going to carry me through with grace.
They will.
And we are in this together, and we pray for each other every day.
That's right.
God bless you.
Well, thank you, darling. God bless you.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Well, my brothers and sisters, we will say a special prayer. Ask all our prayer warriors out there, Jack and George. George is very ill at the moment, but they're twins. They're good friends of Sue and Bill. And if you would be so kind to say a special prayer, yesterday was their birthday, as Sue had requested. So, Lord, we ask that you would bless them abundantly. Hold them close to your sacred heart and fill them with everything that's good and bless them from head to toe. I want to send out a special thank you to Joe Piro. I'm praise and thank God for the beautiful phone call I got off him. I guess it'd be about 8 months ago, 6 months ago, and he wanted to do an interview with me on Mainline Today. And I was like, you want to interview me? And he said, yes. And it's about local women and the remarkable success stories. I said, well, I don't know how remarkable it would be. And I'm certainly, as Mother Teresa said, it's not so much that we're faithful, that we're successful, but that we're faithful. And so he did this article, and I forgot all about it. My friend Ann McGlone called me. I was up in Pittsburgh praying over a friend of mine, and she got the magazine, Mainline Today. And Joe, I want to thank you. You did a beautiful interview, and it was a great article. And I want to thank you for the opportunity that you gave me to speak about the ministry, speak about my own faith. And for that, I ask that God bless you 100-fold for all the work that you do in your way to build up the kingdom. And I pray that your mother is doing better. I pray for her every day at Mass. So my brothers and sisters, we only have about 5 minutes left. Very quickly, I want to say a happy birthday to Sylvia, if you're listening today. And even if you're not, Lord, I ask you to bless Syl. She's been a sister in the spirit, just one of my best friends. And I would just ask, Lord, that you would lay your healing hands upon her from head to toe. Give her peace and grace and strength. I ask, Lord Jesus, that you continue to allow the light that shines so beautifully from her, continue to dispel the darkness to everyone she comes in contact with. And I just ask a blessing, especially for each and every one of her family members, and healing and reconciliation with Donna and Syl. So, Lord, I want to praise and thank you for the gift of Sylvia's life. And I just want to encourage everybody to reach your hand out to somebody today and tell them Jesus loves them. And we have a caller. Let's see. Hi, Guido.
Good afternoon, Kathleen. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Good. I know you're kind of wrapping up your show here. I'm actually heading downtown, and I was driving. I had you on, and I just wanted to know, since you were wrapping up, if you'd let me help you close out your show with a prayer for vocation.
Sure, do it now.
Okay, great. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this, another day of life. We ask that you open up the hearts of young men who think they may hear the call to be a servant for you. There is no greater cause than to serve you. We ask also, Father, that you open up the hearts of their mothers and fathers, brothers and sisters, friends and relatives, co-workers, so that when young men maybe bounce the idea off of you, that you would respond in a positive way, that you would respond encouraging, that you would respond with support. Every day we read the newspapers, we hear more and more about the evil that's in the world, but it will never overtake the goodness that you provide us, Lord. Please continue to bring us good men who will heed the call, and you will be fisher of men. We ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen indeed. Well, once again, a beautiful prayer, especially this year of our priest and for all vocations. And Guido, thank you very much. I look forward to seeing you.
Thank you very much. I'll just listen up for your closing. God bless
you. God bless you.
Thank you for all you do.
All right. Bye now. Well, my brothers and sisters, as Guido said, we're coming to the last 3 minutes, 4 minutes of the program. And We're certainly blessed to have this medium to talk about the Lord God, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we are most grateful for all of you who support this ministry. Fran, if you're listening, I'll give you a call. I just got back into the studio, and I had been away. And I just wanted to thank you from the bottom of my heart, and I will call you again and speak to you more personally about it. I want to ask everybody out there today, from my heart, I'm going to ask you to pray for some young man that's very, very close to my heart. Bobby Lisneski, you may know him as Righteous B. He's a well-known entertainer, preacher, and singer, and his ministry is called The Dirty Vagabonds, and he worked with the poorest of the poor, as well as going out through all the churches all over, and he has a ministry that's powerful, and he's been taken ill. He had three strokes. I went up yesterday to pray over him in Pittsburgh Hospital Medical Center. So I'm going to ask all of you, I believe in miracles, and I know you do too. And so I'm going to ask all of you to pray for this vibrant young man. He has five children, his beautiful wife, Kate, and their five children are praying for their father and for the husband. So I pray that God will restore Bobby, mind, body, soul, every part of his being, because the body too is for the Lord. So for all of you who are out there today who have suffered any strokes, I ask God today to speak his word and to send it forth, because God is outside of time and space, as you know. And Lord, I ask now that you enter into those bodies, making them strong once again, that they might be a sign and a wonder to all those who are treating them and caring for them. In Jesus' name we praise and thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. Well, my brothers and sisters, we're down to the last 2 minutes, and I want to remind everybody the second week or the third week in October, we will be having our radiothon. We need this. You know, it's week to week, and through your generous support after I sent out an urgent letter, maintained us to stay on the air this long. We're doing our radiothon, and we're asking for God to pour out an abundant blessing on this ministry. I want to praise and thank God for my awesome staff, my volunteers. They're just a tremendous gift. This wouldn't go on. This ministry doesn't happen without all of you. And, of course, for all of our listeners, I'm the voice behind the microphone. But you're the evangelizers, too, because through your love, your prayers, your financial support, you enable me to continue to proclaim the gospel of life. You enable me to continue to preach and teach the gospel. So my brothers and sisters, I ask that if you can help us out any way for this upcoming radiothon, perhaps you have sporting tickets, Eagles, hockey, Phillies, whatever you might have that you could offer to us, donate to the ministry, that we can go on the air and say, this is what we have, and ask the people of God who are listening to be generous in their donations for these gifts. Most people, when they have radiothons or TV-thons, they don't give anything back. They just ask you to give something to the ministry. I want to give something back. So would you be so good as, if you have anything, pictures, statues, any statuaries, anything that you could give to us. We never turn down a financial is what we need. So maybe you would like to make a certain amount of a donation. And then we could say, so-and-so donated this. This is their donation. It's a pledge. And is there some pledge out there that they can match it? Anything you can do to help us. Please call the office, 610-527-2906, 1-888-343-2484. And last but not least, I'm going door to door. If you know anybody out there that would be willing to, any car dealer that would be willing to donate a car, to this ministry, that we can use as a fundraiser. That's what we're going to do. And I'm out there begging on the Lord, knocking on doors of these automobile agencies. Maybe you know somebody. Maybe you're listening in today and you're an executive with one of those facilities, one of the car dealers. If so, it's a tax write-off from you. It's a totally tax-free gift that you could give us and a tax deductible for you. So would you please pass the word? We're trusting in the Lord that if this is something he laid on my heart and it's of him, it will come to pass. My brothers and sisters, I want you to know that I reach out my hand to you today in faith and hope and in trust. And I know that God clasps all of our hands to tell us that he loves us and we're never alone. He's with us always, even till the end of time. God bless you.